In this way, the action of immortal mind roots despotism and tyranny out of mortal mind. Humanly speaking, the race is in bondage to material sense, ignorant how to obtain its freedom, ignorant how to win the rights of man. 225, line 29. The abolition of African slavery was simply prophetic of the banishment of worldwide slavery. 226, line 3. It heralded universal freedom and the rights of man as a son of God, which is what man is in Christ's divine science, line 13. Christ's divine science instructs us that it is not right for humanity to believe it is mortal and therefore separate from divinity. It is right for man to be what he is, namely the Son of God, Christ, in divine science. These are our human rights, which our divinity claims for us, line 14. So divine science, line 20, rends asunder human fetters and our birthright of soul allegiance to our Maker asserts itself. Man is born right only when his Maker is mind, capital M, line 24, and he ceases to be in servitude to mortal body, but instead is mind's own body. Paragraph at the bottom of 226, where the heading is House of Bondage, depicts the journey of the children of Israel in the Old Testament, our own journey in the footsteps of truth, out of Egypt, through the Red Sea and the wilderness, into the Promised Land, into the land of Christian science, 227, line 1, the true idea of body, where fetters fall and the rights of man are fully known and acknowledged. It's essentially an educational journey of salvation, guided by truth, the strong deliverer, by the educational system, which is Christian science, delivering us from the educational systems of the pharaohs and all false physiological knowledge until the entire world body finds itself to be Christian science and dwelling in the Promised Land. Higher law ends bondage, marginal heading 227. What we are being educated in is true freedom under the law. The law of one divine mind, the law of man's inalienable rights. Through a subjective knowledge of, not ignorance of, line 11, divine power. God made man free, all men should be free, born of the spirit of liberty. These legitimate rights spiritually discern doom, all oppression, all lawless slavery. And the liberating spirit is love and truth, line 19, which make free, the opposite of evil and error which lead into captivity. Love holds man, truth, little t, forever secure within the wholeness of truth, capital T. And so Christian science the revelation that truth is love, and that only love is truth, cries out to all the citizens of the world, follow in my footsteps, walk in the footsteps of truth and love, accept the glorious liberty of the children of God and be free. Accept your true heritage, the land of Christian Science. Inherit what you really are and be free. Free fundamentally from an imaginary biological genetic code, but also from all other false knowledge and false material laws. And therefore the subject at the top of 228 is no fleshly heredity, no transmissions of dangerous genetic inheritances from one generation to another, for life is God, line 6. Our being, little b, is life, capital L. Therefore nothing inharmonious has ever entered it. This is our heritage of freedom, the body that is promised us, the land of Christian Science, the realm of Almighty God, line 15, whose name is mind, spirit, soul, principle, life, truth, love, teaching us to control our bodies through understanding the oneness of being in divine science, the unbroken unity of the human and the divine. So, in this eighth chapter, Footsteps of Truth, the teaching of the seventh chapter, Physiology, is represented as being actually lived and practiced. Our life, little l, is life, capital L. Following the Christly command to take no thought for a non-existent mortal life, we do not depend on bodily conditions, structure, and economy, but on the body of truth, the body of mind, spirit, soul, principle, life, truth, love. In this way, Christianity, line 21, one universal Christ body humbles with its power the pride of priestcraft, with its plurality of sectarian bodies. Mind is the master of sin, sickness, and death, 229 at the top, because mind never makes them. Therefore they do not inhabit its body. Mind infinity made all that is ever made, line 7. Because mind is spirit, line 12, mind is not good in one instance and evil in another. That mind made all is the law of immortal mind, line 21, trampling underfoot all so-called mortal mind law. Individuals, line 18, are mistaken who consent to the universality of conjectural and speculative mortal mind laws. The law of immortal mind renders these null and void. All that mind makes is good and stands forever, line 25. The remedy for having supposedly transgressed a belief of mortal mind, not a law of matter or divine mind, is truth, wherein there is no matter. The truth, little d, that disease is unreal. The truth that no part of truth ever departs from, ever transgresses the law of truth's health and wholeness. At 2:30 and 2:31 are profound pages in their use of the capitalized terms. No part, no quality, no condition of truth ever breaks away from truth and becomes sick. Therefore, sickness is not true. Our awakening from the dream that sin and sickness are true, that mortality is part of truth, is the forever coming to us of Christ, or truth itself. The coming of salvation through the divine principled love. What we are concerned with, therefore, is truth as the saving principled love. That God is principle, and that this principle is love, never inconsistent, never causing evil, are our highest ideas of God. Line 11. So from the bottom of 230 to the top of 231, victory over mortal mind as the mind, singular, of mortals, plural, and as the cause, the maker of all disease and suffering is gained through Christ in divine science. Those two terms again. The saving divine principle love goes into operation as Christ in divine science. Christ in its science, proclaiming, in accordance with the example of Jesus, the divinity of all humanity, shows that man's principle is love. This is what truth is. The infinite all power of truth, life, love. 231, line 10. Obliterating disease permanently with no liability of its return. Consistently in the textbook, this combination of terms, truth, life, love, has related to God in expression as the healing Christ, truth, in which science and Christianity, line 13, are in complementary balance, not antagonistic any more than truth and love, the combination on line 19, are at war with one another. In this paragraph, science corresponds to truth and Christianity to love, and the two together furnish us with life. The indivisibility of Christ in divine science. Christ, truth, demonstrating the principle of everything in the universe to be love. And so the paragraph beginning line 20, because in divine science we are made superior to sin, sickness, and death divinely, it is wisdom for us to hold ourselves superior to them humanly, to maintain ourselves humanly what we are, divinely, so that the two are one. At the bottom of the page, that which makes us what we are in this way, our maker, is that which makes all things, namely the Word of God, identified here with the term mind. the word of divine mind, mind's own word, makes everything what it is. The word of our true God mind, what our mind declares itself to be, is the maker of what we are. The opposite of this, over the page to 232, line 3, are theories that would make us what we are not. And again, the associated term, line 8, is divine science. The word of the one God mind at work in its divine science makes us what we are. So that line 9, all things are possible to this mind. Which means to say that all good is possible to spirit. All good is possible to spirit because mind, through its word, has made everything the way it is according to the principle, line 14, of Christianity, line 13, the principle that is of all things constituting one harmonious universal body. Christianity, as the actual demonstration of principle, makes man healthy, whereas drugs, etc., can't do this. And such is the activity of mind, line 22, wherein man is mind's own harmonious body. We are finding ourselves in the sanctuary of truth, where voices are voicing the word of God. We are this voice, these voices. We are the word which is truth voicing itself. And the result is the burial of error and our own resurrection to spiritual life. We, man, are voicing truth in science and not error. We are proving Christian power, 233, line 2, which is the power of the principle of Christianity, back there on the previous page. We're proving it to be the power of spirit, line 4. We're proving that with spirit, identical now with Christianity, all good is possible. Even though in the midst of imperfection, such perfection is demonstrated only by degrees, line 9. Nevertheless, the goal of goodness, that's the quality of God good, will inevitably be earned and won. In the form of Christ's mission, the marginal heading, line 18, which is what we are really fulfilling in spirit and therefore as Christianity. The shadow of his right hand rests upon this hour, revealing to all mankind what man truly is. Spiritual drafts to 34, line 1, which heal. They're the things that are at work. These drafts, these inspirations, consist of spirituality itself, truth little t, the quality of spirit. In the form of song, sermon or science, they inspire and bless with wisdom, truth, and love the whole human family with crumbs of comfort from Christ's table, that is, with the Comforter. The crumbs that make up the one whole loaf of bread are the body of the human race and Christianity that makes up the oneness of Christ. Truth in relation to love. Hence the need, line 12, for us to love on the basis of the golden rule. At the same time, barring the doors of our sanctuary against thieves and murderers. With crumbs of comfort, first marginal heading there, we are hospitable to health and good, second marginal heading, at the same time, cleansing our mind, third marginal heading, of the brood of evils that infest it. You must control evil thoughts in the first instance, or they will control you in the second. 234.26. Evil thoughts and aims reach no further and do no more harm than one's belief permits. 931. Against one who obeys the requirements of divine science, over to 235.6, and has virtue and truth for his defense, evil thoughts and aims can do nothing. Teachers, physicians, clergymen, mothers, children are the subjects next to be taken into account, as we see from the captions on pages 235 and 236. In the relationships involved in educating, healing, and uplifting mankind, the requirement is moral and spiritual culture based on virtue. Virtue is from the root vir, meaning man, signifies courage, strength, rectitude. Physicians should understand the truth which is life, and which therefore perpetuates being. Line 23. A patient's feet should be planted on the rock Christ Jesus as the true idea of spiritual power. Not just the rock Christ, but the rock Christ Jesus, indicating that divine science up there on line 6, where the divine and human, Christ and Jesus, are one. And thus the standard of truth is lifted on to the watchtowers of the world, instilling in humanity love of Christianity instead of love of popularity, the opposite of Christianity. And this at the top of 236, in the interest not of sect, but of humanity as a whole. Proof by example that divine mind heals is the way in which Christ's truth really teaches. Proof by example. So line 12, a mother is the strongest educator. One is reminded of Jesus saying, "The Comforter, divine science, shall teach you all things." The mother should mold embryonic thought according to the pattern shown to Moses in the Mount of Revelation. These words refer particularly to the pattern of the sevenfold golden candlestick. What we know today as symbolizing the science order of the seven synonymous terms for God, mind, spirit, soul, principle, life, truth, love, the reduction of divine science to the system of Christian science. 9:18, teaching that all men have one mind. So the naturally tractable child taught the truths of health and holiness, line 24, which are themselves the truth cure, Christian Science, over on 237:15, buds and blossoms into self-government as it strides towards truth. And this is in contrast to the stubbornness that characterizes the thoughts of adults. So let us remember that the tenor of the chapter as a whole is that old, adult, things must pass away and all things become new, like the thought of the little child, in a process of resurrection and new birth. If invalids, 237:23, would willingly investigate the science of mind, line 30, they would rid themselves of their delusions and complaints. For this science, over the page to 238, line 4, works changes in personal character as well as in the material universe. We must be Christian, line 9. That means separated from the false sense of society and united with the true sense. We must lose sectarianism, typified by the Roman Catholic crucifix, and find all in Christ. Understanding truth, we shall not fall away from truth in times of persecution. The word persecute, from the root sequi, meaning to follow. Persecution, coming from society not following Christ, but dividing itself up into followings and sects. To follow truth and so walk in the footsteps of truth is to understand truth. We must not, therefore, try to convert mankind and gain dominion over it in a sectarian way, but leave all for truth itself. In other words, forsake popularity and gain Christianity, line 24, with its spiritual tolerance and justice. This is taking up the true cross, the central emblem of history, line 31, in contrast to the Roman Catholic crucifix. Only the principle of Christianity can give us right views of humanity, marginal heading 239, and replace wealth, fame, social organizations, cliques, and so on, with honesty, worth, and wisdom. What we are concerned with is Christian, is human society as the true body of Christ in Christianity. Now, line 18, divine love becoming nearer, dearer, and more real to us in this way means that matter is submitting to spirit. It means we are manifesting the spirit of love, and so are winning spirit itself. And this is God being the sole object of our affections. As demanded, we remember in the opening paragraph of the chapter, this love being mind, it produces in us man the harmonious action of its own body. Last paragraph on 239, in contrast to the discordant action of mortal mind. Perfect mind sends forth perfection as a fount sends forth its stream. The relation of God to man is that of mind to body, the body of mind full of love, not the body of mortal mind full of vanity, that is, empty of love. So the subject at the top of 240 is nature. Real nature is love, voicing itself through natural spiritual law. What seems to be material nature is the misinterpretation of nature by human belief. The things of nature in this paragraph reflect the intelligence of the mind, which is love. And as such, they are spiritual symbols, not material counterfeits. Nature, then, is the order of science, line 10, one grand concord in which everything reflects one principle. Mind, supposedly governed by matter, soul, in body, is the human belief's misinterpretation of nature. In the spiritual sphere of the natural universe, the motions of minds, rotations, and revolutions go on perpetually and eternally. If science doesn't convince us that the error of misinterpretation must be overcome, then suffering certainly will. In the last paragraph there on page 240, the terms are truth and soul, undoing the errors of sense involved in the misinterpretation of nature. Just as all errors finally brought into subjection to truth, so all sense is brought into subjection to soul. And to this end, 241.4, love chastens us. The demands of divine science and the will of God are the same thing. Humanity and divinity must be found one. The issue is between obedience and disobedience, being envied in the one case and chastened in the other. The topic is still affection and devotion as the treasures of truth, in contrast to the affections of the sensualist. And what is at work is spirit, transforming and renewing. Spirit transforms, marginal heading line 15. It transforms and renews body, which is what the Bible teaches. And it does this on the basis of practice being the only real preacher. Again, as demanded in the opening paragraph of the chapter, we remember. When practice is the preacher, this is the activity of spirit itself. Like when we found a little while ago that the power of spirit is Christian power. And therefore, spirit is love. Line 20. If ye love me, keep my commandments. Show that you love me, that you are devoted to spirit by reflecting and demonstrating spirit. Love one another as I have loved you, which comes in that same passage in John's Gospel, was, Jesus said, his new commandment. Therefore let spirit renew your body. Let all things become new. be transformed into the Christ body instead of believing you're a sinning, sensual, mortal body. And how is it to be done? By walking in the footsteps of truth, the subject of the eighth chapter as a whole, and the subject specifically of the paragraph beginning 241-23. These footsteps are the way to health and holiness, which points, of course, to the order of the third degree, back there on page 116, wisdom, purity, spiritual understanding, spiritual power, love, health, holiness, and constituting understanding as a point beyond faith, or the second degree. The implication is the translation of all things back into spirit as taught back there on page 209, it was. Such footsteps take us to the Horeb height where God is revealed, to the cornerstone or capstone at the top of God's holy mountain, defined here as purity. This capstone of spiritual building is, of course, the foundational order of the capitalized terms for God, correlative with the order of the third degree and with the footsteps of the 7 days of creation, the order of spiritual regeneration. The synonymous terms for God signify the purity of spirit itself, baptizing, washing, purifying the body of the impurities of flesh, and so transforming and renewing it. Being pure in this way, we see God, typified by the synonymous terms, and approach the demonstration of spiritual life. Line 29. And thus we put off a false individuality. Over to 242, line 3. We know God subjectively in what is called his new covenant. All things becoming new. I will put my law in their inward parts, God said to Jeremiah, and I will write it in their hearts. Pure in heart shall see God. And they shall no more teach every man his neighbor and every man his brother, saying, Know the Lord, for they shall all know me, from the least of them unto the greatest. Line 4 there. All, the human family as a whole, the entire body of mankind renewed and transformed by spirit and its joys. Line 7. So human freedom will be reached, and the final triumph over the body. Christ in divine science, again that combination of terms, line 9, shows us the one only way, in the marginal heading there, into this heaven or promised land by compelling the surrender of self-love. Line 15, self-will, self-justification, self-love, constituting the opaque, the adamant body of solidified self-love. Only the universal solvent of love, capital L, is capable of dissolving this false sense of body. Namely, the love referred to on the previous page, whereby we keep the commandment to love Christ and love one another in order to be the body of love. This is the body whose vestments are not divided. Marginal heading line 23, but is the body of life itself clothed in truth. That is, in the divine science of man, Christ in divine science, woven into one web of consistency without seam or rent, without organization, without schism, because stemming in its integrity from the one Horeb height where God is revealed. In this divine science of man, we prove that we are Christian rather than profess it, because we are free from ignorance and hypocrisy. 243, line 3. We are living in the realm of timeless love, line 4. Having the mind, line 10, that was in Christ Jesus. And if this is what must always accompany the letter of science, in order to repeat the ancient demonstrations of prophets and apostles, then what this is must be the spirit of Christianity. The letter of science plus the spirit of Christianity is what we all need so much. The clay does not reply to the potter. Regarding the body, the heart, the head, heart, lungs do not report their dizzy, diseased, and so on. The body's real mind, line 20, is of purer eyes than to behold evil, and cannot look on iniquity. And this means, therefore, that it is the body of truth, line 25, which is no consciousness of error, of love, which is no sense of hatred, the body of life, which is no partnership with death. The body, therefore, of truth, life, and love, the collective Christ body truth, made up of the infinitude of individuality, which is life, all infinitely universal love, and which is a law of annihilation to everything unlike itself, because what it declares itself to be is the body of God. So from the top of 243, bottom of 243 to the top of 244, perfection does not animate imperfection. The perfection of the fount sends forth perfection of form. It does not produce moral or physical deformity. Line 2. These facts are revealed by divine science. On their basis, Jesus demonstrated life, never fearing nor obeying the deformities of error. This is the spirit of life in Christ Jesus, making us free from the law of sin and death. The spirit, capital S of life, little l, in Christ, divine, Jesus, human, which are one in divine science. So we have arrived at what man is, never born, never dying, no cradle, no grave, but timelessly, instantly, the full reflection of infinite mind. Line 22, coming from mind, returning to mind, the entire manifestation of mind. This is man in science. Line 23, man not evolved, marginal heading, neither young nor old. Youth and age are things of thought, belief only. Because of this, age can be prevented from manifesting, as illustrated by the woman of 74, who looked only 20 because of her state of mind. She had no thought of herself as growing old. She could not age while believing herself young, for the mental state governed the physical. The infinite never began, nor will it ever end. Line 32. And thus on 246.4, life and its faculties are not measured by calendars. Spirit is our origin, our source, whose stream of life, which is us, man, does not rise higher than its source. For page after page after page, the theme now is the true idea of beauty, the beauty of the divine form which is man. Man, the eternal noon of an ever-radiant sun. Indeed, man, in the chapter of the Apocalypse, is the woman standing in the sun, a radiant sun of those qualities of virtue and truth which make it the sun of spirit. The radiance of spirit, line 15, is true beauty, fadeless, non-transient, glory imperishable, never lapsing into ugliness or age. This is man, governed by his immortal mind, always beautiful and grand. No recording of ages, no chronological data, no timetables of birth and death are therefore permissible. Rather, at the bottom of the page, we are bidden to shape our views of existence into loveliness, freshness, and continuity instead of into age and blight. We have to be spiritual artists, shapers of life. A treatise on the true art of living, as that which alone shows forth the science of life, is soon to begin in the text. In this case, it is possible, page 247, marginal heading, for eyes and teeth to be renewed, for body to be transformed by the renewal of spirit, as we had it back there on page 241. The marginal headings at this point are eternal beauty, the divine loveliness. Beauty and truth, little t, go together. Exempt from age and decay, they characterize immortality, which has a glory of its own. Having its own glory makes it the radiance of soul. Line 15. The radiance of spirit, on the opposite page, shines forth infinitely, imperishably, as the radiance of soul. This glory is the very withinness of soul itself. It is all soul's own. And what is this radiance? Immortal men and women, the models of spiritual sense which perfect mind, the great artist and architect of man's being, draws. Beauty, loveliness, comeliness, grace, charm are inherent qualities of our being possessed by the mind which is soul before they are reflected or perceived humanly, before they appear in expression, form, outline, color, 9:24, as us humanly. And what the great artist, the mind, which is soul, is love, the true nature of everything. Soul, then, is the recipe, the blueprint for beauty. Line 31, its radiance shines subjectively from within itself, in contrast to embellishments of the person plastered on from outside. Soul, giving the true idea of body, is thus a state of unchanging calm, glorious freedom, spiritual harmony, represented as having been won now as the chapter draws to a close. Always subject and object are one in the identity of being which is soul. The heading on 248, line 5, is love's endowment. Love as subject never loses sight of its own loveliness. Its halo, its glory, rests upon itself as object. Because of this, in our human experience, a friend should never seem less than beautiful. Because mind is love, it feeds its body, man, with supernal freshness and fairness, supplying it, like an artist, with beautiful images of thought, so that death-dealing woes of sense, darkness, and gloom are destroyed. So the text turns to the sculptor, the artist, by way of illustration, and the marginal headings being mental sculpture, perfect models. We are all sculptors working at various individual forms, not forming deformity, but perfect formations of mind, when mind to us is love. We are simultaneously molding and chiseling thought, making ourselves the sons of God humanly, being molded, as it were, up to God, because we are the sons of God divinely, being chiseled out from God. Our marble, which must perfect our conception of true being, is the life we live. Continually must we look at and so conceive the perfect model in order to carve this out in grand and noble lives. Line 28, instead of carving out models of mortality continually held before our gaze by the world. Love never loses sight of, it gazes continually at its own loveliness, and thereby reproduces this loveliness in its own image, likeness, idea, which is man. And this means that what we are doing at the top of 249 is accepting science. We are accepting love's endowment. Back there at the top of 248. For this is what science is, love's endowment, what love endows us with. And the form it takes is our having one mind. 249.3. And this one perfect producing his own models of excellence. Our models, then, are produced firstly by our true God mind and reproduced secondly in and as our daily lives. And what are these perfect models? Our own individual Christ identity as the male and female of God's creating. Wherein and whereby the energy of Spirit renews us humanly, brings us into newness of life. Line 6. Spirit is God's manhood and womanhood manifesting one mind. No fear here of an energy crisis, then, of the world's energy resources running out. No material power here able to destroy. On the contrary, power is found in the energy of Spirit, that is, in the powers that be, the power, the energy that is infinitely now in the science of being. Endowed us by love in the form of our having being the expression of one mind. This, line 11, is our life. Deathless, because indivisible, that is, one. Spirit energy, mind power, the power of ideas which are mind created. Infinity itself, which never began, will never end, and includes within it no soulless matter, the opposite of spirit mind. Mind is spirit. And this identity is so. Mortal mind claims that matter holds inside it as its soul, abundant nuclear energy and power. So we're looking at Christ as our ideal, our model. Line 18, which is the same yesterday and today and forever. For this is what life is. Like Christ, the same yesterday and today and forever. The unlikeness of Christ is organization and time, which have nothing to do with, the opposite of, life, and constitute the Adam dream. Adam's dream of mortality is a dream of material organization and time. Also the same yesterday and today, but not, thank goodness, forever. But man is not dreaming. Why? Because his eye is spirit. When, as man, our eye is spirit, not matter, then we are Christ and not Adam. So at the bottom of the page, we are not a body of material sensations. Body reflects the ego of soul. Soul, then, is the mind which is spirit. Let me turn to the top of 250. Soul is not therefore divided into souls many, any more than mind is multiplied into minds many. To suppose that such division and such multiplication is true is to suppose that mortality is the matrix of immortality. Line 5. This is impossible, for like always produces like. Oneness produces oneness, not organic schisms. Only immortality is the matrix of immortality. The matrix of mortality is mortality. Organic life and time, the mythical imagery that constitutes the whole of the Adam dream. Now this dream, line 7, Seth, it is I. But the ego is spirit, which never dreams. Spirit understandeth. Spirit is never unconscious. Never born and never dying, spirit is the ego of spiritual man, in the same way that the sun is the ego of every one of its rays of light. And man, according to the Apocalypse chapter, is the woman radiant with the sun of spirit, having matter under her feet. So spirit alone says, it is I. When spirit is I, man is Christ. A quotation, it is I, is from Matthew 14. It is I, be not afraid, says the Christ man to his disciples when, in the night when a storm is raging, he walks to them over the sea. They think he is a spirit.